You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I think that the most controversial sports thing going on today, the thing most likely to get people arguing today more than the Raiders, are they for real, in sports is, was the thing the Mannings did last night as an alternate broadcast good? And we will get to that in just a second. But I just want to backtrack for a second. Jessica noticed this before. Greg Cody is a man of words. He has been working in journalism for a long time. Journalism has a standard. One of the many things that happens at ESPN, for example, with rule breaking is you do not attack people personally. You criticize the behavior. Don't attack the person and call the person names, bad guy, coward, Bill Simmons, liar with Roger Goodell. Just criticize the behavior. All of that is context. Greg Cody's astute newspaper written word analysis when spoken was his offensive line was shit. He felt totally comfortable calling a group of human beings fecal matter.
Yes, their performance, not them as people.
Right.
Great people on that offensive line. And Mahomes ran about 17 and a half miles in that game to evade sacking.
So if your editor was here, he would have edited that and said, they weren't shit, they played like shit.
We don't allow the word shit in the Miami Herald, I'll tell you that.
Any particular reason that's where you went when discussing it on the radio as an old-timey, credible sports journalist?
Right. Sure. Hits right to the point.
I think you can also get away because you're saying as a collective they're shit, but not individually they're shit. Right. So a unit is shit, not a person is shit.
Billy, you are right on the mark. As individuals, they're wonderful people. I know many of them. I go to church with them. They're just terrific people. But they had a bad game.
Name one of them.
Eric, McGillicuddy. I don't know. Foster, the guy they get rid of. Wasn't it Foster? Good people.
Eric McGillicuddy's on the Colts this year.
Thank you. Got traded.
You were going to say Fisher.
Eric Fisher is who I meant, yeah. What did I say, Foster?
Yeah. Well, close. You said McGillicuddy, actually.
Right. Well,
lucked into
name it. On the front's more important than the name on the back.
Exactly. Every team's got a McGillicuddy in spirit, if not in reality.
This is what I love, though. It just so that people can see the total BS of most football analysis everywhere. Calls them feces. Doesn't know any of them. Says he goes to church with them on Sundays.
Right.
Doesn't know any of their names, makes a McGillicuddy joke. Ladies and gentlemen, our football writer at the Miami Herald across the decade.
You know what's excellent. Funny? You always refer to me as a football writer. I haven't been a football writer. I've been a football writer 2 years in my career, 1990 and 1991.
It's an insult, right?
It really is.
You're just a writer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You know what?
He's a columnist.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Please. My deepest, deepest apologies. For decades now, Greg Cody is not a football writer. He's a man who makes weekly gambling picks on football games consulting his imaginary bird.
That's true. That is true. Had a rough week. Had a rough week.
The bird did.
Yeah, the bird. We went 8-8 straight up. Haven't figured out yet my picks, OTL.
What was the dog of the week?
I don't pick a dog of the week anymore. We did
really?
Away with that. Yeah.
Wow. You got to bring it back.
Yeah. Man. I game focus groups.
Jesus.
My upset of the week came through, Houston beating Jax. Matter of fact, I picked three upsets and got all three right. Still went 8-8.
Can you bring the dog of the week back? I love that.
Why'd you get rid of the dog of the week? And for those of you who don't know, don't read the Miami Herald. He consults an imaginary bird. That bird is known as the upset bird. It tells him about upsets.
Right.
He was 8-8 straight up this week.
Yeah.
Football expert.
Yeah, the bird has a Mecklenburg grin. But I went 8-8. I think I did a little better than that against the spread, since I did have three upsets and nailed all three of them, including Dolphins. I had Dolphins covering three on the road, and they did. The reason we did against the, did away with the dog of the week is that people mistook it for, by dog of the week, I meant the worst game of the week.
Oh,
you know, typically a Bengals-Browns game or something back in the day. Mm. But people mistook it as my underdog, my dog of the week against the points, and so it was confusing.
I need to stop the show immediately because I believe Greg Cody made a joke that no one in the audience, not one person of all the people all over America and beyond listening to this show, you need to explain to these people what a Mecklenburg grin is. You cannot, you cannot just say that the bird flew off grinning a Mecklenburg grin. Does right. Roy know what this is about?
I'm guessing he's talking about the former Denver Bronco, Carl Mecklenburg.
He has to.
Yes.
Right.
Carl with a K.
But it yes, you've got that part of it right. I defy you to get the rest of it right. Because
no.
It why is the bird flying away grinning a Mecklenburg grin?
The albino rhino. That.
Dan, I think you were in a position to answer that question.
No, you explain it. It's your joke. You explain the joke.
If I remember correctly, and I could have this wrong because we're talking about something that's 20 plus years old, Dan Le Batard and I are sitting in the Miami Herald offices, which don't exist anymore, by the way, and Dan helped me, or perhaps did, create the persona of the upset bird. And I think it was Dan who had the bird grinning a Mecklenburg grin. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm dreaming all that, but I think that's what happened.
We worked together. It was our greatest. It was really our greatest partnership.
It really was.
We produced nothing better than an upset bird flying away because it had picked the Broncos, and it was grinning the grin of the funniest name on the Broncos,
right.
Carl Mecklenburg. Right.
Mecklenburg.
Mark! Jay-Z's buying the Broncos. Jay-Z and
what?
Bezos. No, there's a report. I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
They've been for sale.
There's
real family drama there.
$4 billion or $5 billion, something absurd like that, and you can have the Denver Broncos, and it's being reported that Bezos, and Mike's got this right, Bezos is becoming a supervillain, right? He's just, he's become a supervillain.
Yeah, he's right under our noses. We've funded his evil empire, and now he's trying to reverse the aging process by hogging up all the rocket scientists.
I hope he does that. I mean, don't you? Reverse the aging process? That
yes,
would be fantastic.
I don't love the hogging of the hogging of all it sounded like you were advocating on behalf of him hogging all the scientists. Greg Cody needs, based on that hacking cough, the aging process to be reversed before the end of the show.
The money has realized that this Earth isn't going to do it in the end. So we need to travel far, far away. So he's already on the front foot when it comes to space travel, but it's going to take a long time to find an Earth-like planet. He needs more time. Reverse the aging process. The money is telling you, leave Earth now. We don't have the means for that, but we're going to keep Amazon priming our way to funding their evil empire.
That's pretty damning. He's just going to rise up in his rocket ship above all the places that are on fire, all the drought, all the flooding, all these epic weather events, and he's going to live with his scientists just IVing him youth in some sort of space station with all of our money. He's going to have, and when you read, when you read some of these numbers of how much he's making per day and whether Amazon is a monopoly, like he can own all the teams in the NFL.
Yeah, that's after giving up half his stuff. I mean,
I feel like you guys, Mike, maybe you are overcomplicating it. I don't think he wants to live longer so he can find another habitable planet. I think he just has a pretty good life right now. He's got a huge yacht. He's realizing he's getting a little older.
Doesn't want it to end.
Wouldn't you want to live forever if you were the richest man on Earth and had everything you could ever want right at your fingertips?
I'd want to live forever if I were just me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Living forever sounds awesome. I have a good life. I enjoyed my time at Arrowhead.
I want to talk about your
what
time.
What has been good about your
this
life?
This is what
the last
one
week.
Close Browns game gets you.
Yeah. Really? Arrowhead.
Kind of disappointing with all the money in the world, no one was able to ever figure out time travel, right? No, we're not in the works, or we would have known.
Yet.
We've shut the door?
Well, no, guys, that's not how time travel works. If someone would have figured it out, we would have known that it existed already, because they would have traveled back in time.
Huh.
So you're surprised that he hasn't done this yet? Or you?
No,
want
it's not going to happen. I'm a firm believer that time travel will not exist.
Okay, and that is a reasonable... Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Will time travel exist?
Unless what Tony says, he's already done it and he hasn't told us.
Right. I just... With the way things are moving as quickly as they are in technology, I have no idea what our lives are going to look like if they're still around in 20 years. But I ask you this because of how addicted we've become to these phones and whatever the modern evolution... Whatever the evolution is going to be 20 years from now, that we are in a place of things that we don't understand. How many businesses has the phone wrecked, whether it's the flashlight business or the calculator business or the things that your phone, that are in your phone that you no longer have to do anything because it's the wallet business, because it's all in your hand. How many things has the phone simply eliminated any use for?
A lot. Let's count them. I mean, you named a couple. I still have a calculator. There's something about just having a calculator on
the
desk.
Not.
No, I do. I need Billy. I can't do math. I mean, so I like the old school calculator.
You have the one that prints things that go
no,
and then has a little roll.
I use the online calculator in my PC.
I picture Stu Gatz trying to figure out like the spread of a football game and sitting there watching football, typing it into his calculator. What's 35 minus 27?
Using both his index fingers.
Did they cover?
Chewing on his tongue. How many other things has the telephone eliminated or has the phone eliminated? And I can't even imagine what the thing is going to be in 20 years because Apple has to try and keep up with Bezos and they're going to keep. A friend of mine was showing me the other day that the camera just sort of follows him all over the room, that the evolutions of it, the camera is just following him around, always keeping him in the frame.
Well, your credit card. You no longer have to pull out your credit card because now you have Google Pay and you can just insert your credit card.
But the credit card is not a—it's not a business. Like you could still use the credit. The printing of credit
Google
cards.
It's a great text life over there.
Well, I don't. Yeah. Well, I don't have Apple, so I don't go with Apple Pay. So.
I love that you have stopped funding Apple's evil empire, but you probably got 3 boxes of Amazon Prime outside your door.
No, I don't have a subscription
Google,
to Amazon
small
Prime.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Google's fine. My bad.
Jeff Bezos is literally going to space and Roy still can't text us and us reply with something without it being like, Juju Gotti laughed at blah, blah, blah
Juju,
message.
Stop laughing at images. Come on.
Yeah, you got to stop that.
I do it too. It's second nature. This isn't Juju's fault. This isn't on Juju. This is on Roy. This is all Roy.
Send an emoji.
Okay, well, I'm doing this out of spite. And I don't really care about your green messages or anything like that.
Spite for us, very clearly, because you're only inconveniencing us. Your life is not better with a Google phone. It's just not, unless they sponsor us.
Yeah. If they sponsor us, thank you. But yeah, I'm conveniencing myself, and that's the only point in life that I have right now.
Your life cannot be more convenient having green text. It can't be. Everyone having an iPhone is so convenient.
But I have the better phone, though.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
I do. I get the better camera.
You do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I went through my text messages yesterday and deleted, I shit you not, 70 different text threads from this show because of Roy's Android. We can't just keep the same text thread.
I can't name the text and find it easily.
Exactly.
Because you got a green text life.
I also don't text you that much, so there's that. So
not true.
That's your convenience right there.
You text us all the time.
I don't text you on
it.
Stop lying.
You text me. It is a nightmare every morning trying to figure out how to tell people what time to come in. Because as Jess said, there are 17 group chats from all the times people have been out. And I don't want to inconvenience people when they're out with those texts. But Roy is the staple to all of them. This would be so simple. If I just had one text that was Blue Text Life that was named Call Time.
All right, I'll tell you what then. How about you get me a company phone? How about that? Expensive phone
Wow.
from Apple. for me. How about that?
That's not the way that I thought it was going to go. I thought you were going to tell me, how about you keep my name out your damn mouth?
No.
I was pretty sure the way that was going to go is, hey, Dan, can you take care of it? And it's where we ended up, Dan, obviously.
Care to comment?
It's co-founder.
It's where we ended up. I mean, I would think that he would do the things necessary to just fit in with the group to not make things more actively inefficient, but it's my problem.
No, that's not how that works.
It's my problem. I've got to pay for it in order to get him to do
that. It might be worth it. We might all need to pay for this because it would make our lives, from a quality life perspective, this would deeply improve all of our lives
and
right
the show
now. Yes, for sure. I love that your moralities when it comes to Apple cease when it comes to getting a free one.
Dan, get on it.
Yeah, thank you, Stugatz.
The Lark needs to get Roy a phone.
When I began at Metalark Media, I almost bought a refurbished iPad for Roy just to not it. My ceiling on how much I would pay was $100. If there is a refurbished iPad on the internet for $100, I was going to buy it for Roy, but it was like $190. I was like, that's too far. That's too far for a personal expense. But I would have spent $100 to add this one convenience to my life.
What is this weird humble brag of I thought about maybe doing something nice, but I didn't do
next
it.
Time, do
give
it.
Me the credit for doing something nice.
I can afford my own refurbished iPad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no one's claiming that you can't. It's just that you won't. And if someone does it for you, you won't
absolutely
have a choice.
Wait, don't you have an iPad?
No. No, I don't have any Apple products that I own or use. No, sorry.
To answer your question,
do you eat apples?
The compass.
I do, yes.
Uh-oh.
I thought the Mannings were just okay.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Valedictorian.
Thank you, Roy. That's a tough one for Stugatz.
Well, no, that's up. No, listen.
What is second place? Do you know what second place is for a graduating high school senior if you don't get... Well, do you know what first place is?
MVS, most valuable senior.
Do you know what it is to finish in second place, what it's called?
Runner-up.
Runner-up on graduating.
First loser.
Stugatz.
The best graduating senior is the valedictorian.
VV.
Why VV?
I don't know. Is that how you spell it?
You think it starts with two Vs?
Silent V at the beginning.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, of course. Everyone knows that.
What do you mean the VV?
No, you're valedictorian.
What?
Oh, he thinks it's valedictorian.
Because
they won first place, Victorian.
I mean, I spent my whole life thinking that. It's crazy.
Second place.
Solutions.
Not math.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
It's really only ruined like 3 things. Flashlights, the compass.
Well, how about the phone itself, the landline?
Maps.
Phone booths. Maps is another one. If you're a map maker, you're in trouble.
All of these things are just like tedious.
I feel like you still have a map in your car. Right?
Our lives are better without them.
Without a map?
Without maps?
Yeah. I mean, I have a map on my phone. All of the things that you've named are things that are just extra things that we don't, like, I don't miss. I don't miss having a calculator.
There's something about touching a map and circling the endpoint in red, following along the trail.
Yeah.
And then there's a road that's closed and you don't know where to go, so you have to pull over and pull out the map and figure out a detour, and then you're 3 hours late.
My grandpappy, Bill Cody's father, was a cartologist.
There you go.
So I have a soft spot for map makers.
Mm-hmm. Mm, me too, Greg.
The sound of them, you know?
Life's about the journey, Jess, not the destination.
No.
You find the closed road and you're like, obstacle. How do I overcome this?
Life is 100% about the destination.
And by the way, my GPS did me wrong leaving Foxborough last night.
Boy, do I have a bone to pick with Boy George, let me tell you.
What?
He's my voice on Waze currently. I'm
really?
Contemplating switching to Paw Patrol, but I haven't committed yet.
I'm going to guess it was user error, Greg.
I clicked the button. I said, how do I get to Logan, Marriott Logan? And it sent me on a circle. I'm circling desolate roads, pitch black, and I stopped and recalibrated, and luckily it did me right the second time. It's an imperfect science.
Mm-hmm. And if you really had that map.
If you have a map, you put on the pilot light in the car, you read the map, and it's beautiful. But the map...
So much easier.
Well, yeah.
Greg, here's the thing. No one's stopping you from using a map. No one's stopping anyone from using a regular flashlight or a calculator. You can go to the store and buy all of those things.
Right.
But if you have a phone, you don't have to have all that extra shit around. You just carry around a computer in your pocket, and you're good to go.
Rental cars used to have maps in the glove compartment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Map production's way, way down.
I think they still do, Greg. I think they still do.
Yeah.
I think they still do. But, Jess, you realize we all had calculators and all that stuff beforehand. Like, you buy one calculator in your lifetime. You'll buy a calculator, that's what you do. Box of Band-Aids. I mean,
you still need Band-Aids.
Last a lifetime.
You still need Band-Aids. A phone's not going to do that for you.
You know what I'm saying? We all had calculators before we had our phones. Like, I'm not going to just throw mine away. It's a waste of a calculator.
Another thing, the iPhone will never replace the stapler.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, that's true. I actually had to buy a stapler recently, and I was trying to staple something, and I had to open the stapler to staple it because it was the stapler was too small for the piece of paper.
Right.
And so I put it on my dresser, and I pressed down on the stapler, stapled the paper to my dresser.
Greg, do you remember the invention of the calculator? Because when you were in school, you were using abacuses, weren't they?
No, not abacuses, but I do remember the invention of the calculator. Yes, the Texas Instrument. I absolutely do. That had to be, what, late 60s, early 70s?
Is there another Texas Instrument, or is it just the calculator?
Well, that was the original computer.
Are you asking if they have more products?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have several more products. I don't know any of them.
I was going to say, you're very convincing.
I carried a Texas Instrument. It was like a suitcase. It weighed like 60 pounds, and that's where I transmitted stories from Lockhart Stadium football games. Had to use a phone to file the story with the rubber couplers. And so I'm waiting in line on deadline behind a line of high school students all calling their parent for a ride home.
My favorite thing growing up was when teachers would be like, well, you can't use a calculator on this test because when you're out in the real world, you're not going to just have access to a calculator wherever you go. Guess what, Miss Barry? I have a calculator in my pocket at all times.
Wow.
Yeah, Miss Barry.
Taking the easy road, huh, Jess?
I don't need to do mental math. I never need to do mental math.
Why?
Except maybe when I'm watching sports, just because it's quicker.
All right.
Or like I'm calculating a tip on a bill.
If a batter goes 3 for 13, what's his batting average? Quick.
Use my calculator. I'll give it to you.
231.
You didn't use a calculator for that. You just knew that off the top of your head.
Thank you.
Calculator's up there.
You're not proving any
point. I'm a human calculator.
How do we end up here?
Mannings.
Because Dan's... Dan's point that iPhones have made a lot of things obsolete. I think any conversation where you're talking about technology, you also have to talk about the good things that it's done, right?
Yeah.
Yes. iPhones have literally begun revolutions in countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a pretty major thing. We wouldn't have if we were just,
Is there any...
walking around with calculators.
Part of any of you concerned with the thing that wise philosopher... Pat Sajak said on our show, which is you don't have to learn anything anymore. You just have to find it. It seems like an overarching criticism of the digital age, but I'm not actually sure.
I stopped learning years ago.
I'm not actually sure that you have to learn it if you can just find it.
You won't know the simple pleasures of meeting a girl you really like in elementary school and trying to find out ways you could still talk to her. And she gives you her beeper number, and you have to say it to yourself 7 times before you can get to a pencil to write it down somewhere. And then you'd beep 143.
Oh, wow. Not the first time, I would hope.
That's well, I love you, right? 143 yeah. was I love yeah. you.
And 800 85 mm-hmm. which upside down red boobs.
Phone numbers by themselves, we don't remember anymore. Like, I don't even know my wife's phone number anymore because this is in my phone.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you remember any telephone numbers anymore? Let's get into the Mannings last night, because I would ask you, whatever the criticism is, I think it did its job. A lot of people got talking. They need to find their voice. You don't just come out of the box with something like that and have it be great. There will be a lot of learning involved. Peyton Manning will be comfortable in front of the cameras. They're secretly funny, the both of them. They'll probably need production help. But your thoughts are what? You enjoyed the idea of it. I think that's the future of broadcasting.
I really enjoyed it. I realized there were some technical difficulties. I realized that Peyton and Eli aren't polished on TV. I get, and perhaps they need someone there guiding them a little bit. But they told some great stories, especially at the beginning. Ray Lewis was on as a guest. They told some great stories together about Ray going up against Eli in his third NFL game and what he did to him. And so I enjoyed it. Like, if my choice is that, even with the hiccups, I will take it over a mediocre broadcast team as long as I can watch the game, because there is so much upside with that show with Peyton and Eli. And what I saw last night in its first run, it was better than what I would have watched on the main channel. And so for me, I enjoyed it because I was still watching the game and I was laughing at the producer telling them to go to break and I could hear from my living room, you know?
I think Eli is so likable.
Yeah.
And he's so talented. I mean, he's very good in commercials where he plays the comedic role. He's genuinely good. And not to mention, he's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. So he's got a football credibility and he's got a perfect personality, I think, for that.
I think I'm just going to watch it for the bad games, because I found myself really fighting the urge to switch over. I think some of this could be mitigated by giving them the same graphic package, because last night was, I mean, it was a huge battleground for fantasy football and bets alike, the way that game turned. And every time someone makes a catch, you don't have an announcer saying that's his fourth catch for 70 yards. You don't even have graphical representation. So I feel like it could be really help there. Also, knowing when we're going to break would be nice.
But I enjoyed that.
Was that on purpose or was that a mistake? Because it was reported that it was on purpose. It didn't seem to be something that was on purpose.
No, that was a mistake. At one point, he asked Travis Kelce a question. I can't remember what it was. It was something about, like, what do you watch in film days on Tuesdays? And Travis Kelce was about to answer. And he's like, I'll hold you up right there. We got to go to break. Like, what? That's not on purpose.
It was reported that it was on purpose. And the second it was reported, it stopped happening. The first time I thought it was a mistake, and then I actually thought, oh, this might be being done on purpose because you can't control these talents and they have zero polish when it comes to sending people to break. So then I thought it was done on purpose and I saw the report that confirmed that, but I guess it was an embarrassing look and they pulled the plug on that, and then they just pulled the plug literally on segments, and Eli's microphone was a disaster.
He had to use a mic. Yes.
Why are they in different places? It seemed as though they really wanted to stick to a script early on and do a lot of cool things with props, right? And they have access and relationships with coaches. They knew the plays that John Gruden was going to open that game with. They asked Greg Roman for a specific play that they could break down. But the game moves fast. Too fast to do any of that stuff. They don't have a halftime show. It seemed as though they wanted to cram everything they were planning to do early on. And I knew that show would get better when they could just sit back and watch the game. It was cool that Russell Wilson kind of hung around.
Yeah.
I think it'll get better the more comfortable that they get at it. But at the same time, I was longing to find out how many catches does Ruggs have right now. Someone please tell me.
They should put a sidebar with all the stats. I mean, they have to do something. They have to address the stats. It's a very good point. But I love, like, that first touchdown pass or second by Lamar Jackson, which was a ridiculous play where he's scrambling around, runs to his right, makes a touchdown, and makes a touchdown throw. To hear Peyton and Eli break down how he did that was incredible. It was fascinating to me. And just the defense that was coming at him, and they're telling you before it happens and what Lamar should do if they do this. It's just, you have two guys who have one guy who has mastered the position, and to hear him talk about that position was fascinating to me.
I also thought they were way more honest and critical than they would be in a broadcast
booth.
In a broadcast booth, you kind of respect the people that you've spoken to. And I think, like, Peyton Manning was frustrated with how the Raiders played yesterday.
Yes.
And how they handled goal line situations.
Really upset him.
Like yeah. He would, like, they would make a mistake, he'd fall back on this couch that he's sitting on. I also thought that they got honesty out of Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson was, like, dropped the veneer for most of the end of that game. He was on throughout the fourth quarter and overtime, and he was criticizing the Raiders for not continuing to move forward before they kicked the field goal at the end of regulation, and then suggested that NFL games should end on penalties.
My favorite part of the Travis Kelce experience was Peyton saying, hey, are you watching this game, division rival? You got the Ravens next week. Are you watching for anything in specifically? And he's like, well, you know, when you got a division opponent, you play them twice. So I'm looking out for a couple things. Who do we have next week? I think it's the Chargers. So, classic look-ahead game on Sunday night, Chiefs-Ravens.
Did you like it, Whittingham?
It had its ups and downs. I stuck with it just because I ultimately was going to get more from Peyton Manning than I would from any other announcer. Like, when he's, and I think the thing that was unfortunate for him is that the game moves too quickly, because he wants to, like, break down. Here's what the quarterback was seeing coming off the weak side blitz, and the next play is already happening. And that's, like, the thing that people don't realize about NFL football is how fast that it happens. And the broadcasters are basically, like, becoming auctioneers. Like, you think it's under control, but you have to make 28-second points if you're a color commentator. That's as long as you've got. And Peyton couldn't.
I am absolutely here for the Mannings and all the broadcasters to be replaced by auctioneers, by actual auctioneers. Just speed through the commentary and do everything so quickly that you just have auctioneers on one channel and the Mannings goofing around on the other channel, and I'll wipe out the entire broadcast species.
It does seem like this is a tryout for one or both of them to take over, right?
Well, they were trying to get Peyton to do Monday Night Football in a traditional sense, and he didn't want to do it that way. They were going to pay him all manner of money to
do
that.
It's the travel. And Mike mentioned it. Why are they in different locations? Peyton doesn't want to go anywhere.
Right.
He wants to coach his kids' flag football team on a Saturday.
Same with Eli.
They don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
And so, like, they're doing it. They built this incredible studio for them in their houses or somewhere. That wall of televisions was incredible.
They can get it their way.
That is some kind of privilege for the white quarterbacks to get not just the broadcasting jobs, but exactly on your terms because you are the Manning family. God bless them. Like, that's the way to do it. Yeah, we'll stream on ESPN Plus. We'll do it pay-per-view style. So you will make your money back from the God, I mean, I can't even imagine what they have to pay to get those guys who were in all the commercials and the face of the pocket passer, that family, the first family of football. I can't even, they did that all their way, and they will continue to do it all their way. And he doesn't want the pressure beyond the travel. He doesn't want the pressure of having to go to production meetings, like production meetings, he doesn't have to spend 10 hours before a game.
Dan, they very clearly had a bunch of production meetings and things just didn't work out the way that they wanted, and they stuck to the script a little bit. And while it's on ESPN Plus, it's also on ESPN 2. I wish it were just on ESPN Plus because the rigidities of having to go to a break really threw a wrench into everything that they were trying to do. I do kind of agree with you that I think this is where broadcasts are headed as a second screen supplemental experience. I don't quite enjoy them, but it needs a lot of work. This is a heavy lift for a producer.
I don't need the play-by-play. I don't need the traditional broadcast. As a consumer, I don't need a voice saying, second and three, he's off tackle for one, third and two.
I think you don't realize how much you need it until it's gone.
Amen.
I think that...
Yeah, but it was gone last night, and I enjoyed it.
No, but right. I missed it.
Me too.
I didn't think I would miss it.
No. You put the stats on a scroll on the bottom.
That's it.
I don't need a voice saying, that's his third catch of the night. You know, come on.
So many people are watching that on fantasy, though. Like, you've seen what this fantasy explosion is.
Just give us a stat line. It will be fine.
Right? Yeah, a lot of people also watch these games on mute, like at bars. So, like, you don't really need that. As long as you have the graphics, you can figure out what's going on.
You're getting analysis in a way that's very comfortable. These guys are so relaxed, from people like Russell Wilson and Ray Lewis and Travis Kelce. To me, that and the two of them, their dynamic is just funny. And so for me, that was the charm of it. That was the entertainment portion of it for me.
I'm with Mike. I think I'll watch it for boring games or when there's not something exciting happening. But as soon as the game got more exciting, I needed to hear the crowd noise. I wanted to hear the commentators. I like listening to Lewis Reddick specifically. I think he's really smart. And you guys are basically putting Chris Whittingham out of business right now, saying that play-by-play...
Go help yourselves, all of you.
Yeah, the only reason I suck through that is because while I like Lewis Riddick's analysis, I'm not a fan of that Monday night team. I think this is one of the weaker teams. If it was a Monday night team that I enjoyed, I would have switched over a long time ago because there were certain aspects of people there capturing the energy there that I miss. Instead, I just got Peyton Manning complaining about how loud the crowd was during the Raiders' offensive drives.
When there were Ravens fans, obviously there. Like, it was like, it's something too loud here.
Known, something he would have known
right.
if he were there.
It's like, well, it's not 61,000 Raiders fans. There's Ravens fans there. They travel.
When there's an interception at the goal line at the end of the game, who do you want to hear from? Lewis Riddick or Russell Wilson?
Right. Peyton Manning or Brian Greasy?
I do think Russell Wilson is like a great value add to that. If they can get more guests like that on the show, I totally will tune into it. I think Charles Barkley and maybe Travis Kelce, like I hear a lot of them in other places, so I won't tune in for that. But if they can get more guests like Russell Wilson at the end of games to actually give their honest opinion and open up a little bit, it's a great value add.
I'm grateful that finally, after all of these years, some of these chances are being taken. I look forward to the day when the chances get taken in the main place. I think people are creatures of habit. They like the familiar. They don't like change. And I think that this response in here has been muted compared to what the public response was. There were people arguing about this. This is not screwing with people's cathedrals and the things that they're used to. This is how I watch the game. There are a lot of people who like the evolution and plenty who didn't. Was there anyone around here who simply rejected it? I know Ryan Cortez was getting really mad about how unpolished the whole thing was. Was there anyone around here who just simply hated it? Hated the chance being taken, didn't have any use for it, didn't want it, just wants their traditional football served up in the traditional football way?
I think the experience with megacasts for ESPN and their college football national championship actually finds that most people turn to the traditional options even when presented with choices. I'll be curious how the ratings come back, but I do think that people are looking for the very basic information of a game. This is a very advanced conversation about football that happened. And also, if you're looking for the technicalities of the game for a well-produced broadcast, that wasn't it. But that's kind of the point, right? The point is that they're trying to figure it out. But it also, like, on top of being not your traditional broadcast, is a very high level of conversation about football that I'm not sure a lot of people, like, even know all the jargon that Peyton Manning's dropping on your head.
I love that everyone is rushing into this content breach in every way, because what you have that has changed the most, I think, with your customer over, I don't know, the last 10 years is the attention span, is the need. I need more stimuli. Just a game and commercials on television, it is not enough for me. I don't want your commercials. All of this, it's like we're rushing through our content life at 1.5 speed. Like, we need all of it to bombard us at all times because we're addicted to our phones and we need more information. And so you're going to pick whatever it is your two or three habits are, whatever your second screen experience is. My guess is that a whole lot of people aren't going to be watching just the game, because that isn't that day dead now, where you're on your iPad the entire game, you're checking the way your fantasy numbers are changing, you're interacting with Twitter and Instagram and seeing who your favorite, what your favorite analysts are saying.
I watch the Jets game with the volume down and I have the Red Zone channel with the volume up. That's just the way I do it, because the Jet game still means something to me. Like, watching a full game still means something.
It's such an interesting time though to watch how, because part of the experience that's changed, and it hasn't been that long ago, that you would just sit there on Sunday and watch your one game. Yep. You'd watch your one game at 1 o'clock, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And now you have the bombardment from every angle of all the games and all the touchdowns, and you grow to need it. You grow to find yourself in a place where it's moving too. Football, which we just described as moving too fast for the Mannings to do television, is moving too slow for you, because it has commercials and it has this time off. And so you need maximum stimuli from all locations. And this is the other part of it that is more intimate and sort of connected in the disconnected age. There is great joy in feeling like you're watching this game with your friends. on the internet, whether they're the broadcasters or where they're people that exist on social media whose opinions you like, that you're not watching the game alone. You're not actually connected to those people, but you're more connected to a community while watching this stuff than you could be even at the stadium when you're surrounded by these people.
That's what it felt like to me. Like I was watching the game along with, and I was, you know, I was privy to be on the inside of a conversation between Peyton Manning and Eli Manning watching football together. Right. It was fascinating. Like next week, it's Aaron Rodgers, the Packers and the Lions. I want to hear those guys break down Aaron Rodgers.
Week 8, Giants Chiefs on Monday Night Football. That's a game I would probably skip, but now I'll probably watch to see what Eli Manning has to say. And hopefully he's unguarded about it, but you know, he probably still has some relationships with people on the team, so maybe he won't be. But I'll tune in to see.
I love it as an alternative. And I wonder when the Dennis Miller experiment failed 10 years ago or whatever it was, if this was around then, I think Dennis Miller as an alternative broadcast in a booth with Peyton Manning or someone might have worked, might have gone over.
No matter your criticisms of this, no matter what they are, that experiment is a rousing success because on day one at the end of a football weekend, you're talking about something other than what was a pretty magnificent game. You're arguing about something because your broadcast experience has been changed slightly, and that's what they paid for. That's why you buy the Manning names, and that's why you give them everything they want. I'll be curious to see what the numbers are on that, but if you can... We've talked before about the reason these broadcasts don't change. The risk is zero. People are watching your game, period. People
no
who care,
what.
It does not matter. And I wish for a long time that they took more chances. Comedians, all sorts of, do what Triller's doing. Just make it an entertainment extravaganza. Football's too conservative for that. The partners won't allow that. But just make it a giant smoking, you throw Eminem in the booth, throw Snoop Dogg, do all the, you know, whatever. Do all that stuff.
You want the Pauls calling a Monday Night Football game, Dan. I can read between the lines.
I'm fine with whatever you want to do to the sacred experience. Football will never allow it. This is as close as they come to wacky, putting the Mannings on an alternate channel with their partner. Like put them in khakis and put them on the screen, and that's as close as they will get to rebellion in their broadcast.
Let's take this all the way as extreme as we can get. Let's do a broadcast for Republicans and a broadcast for Democrats. And on the Republican broadcast, they talk about how great hits are, and oh my God, this is America, and we do like all the troop stuff. And then on the Democrat broadcast, we're like, CTE, this is really bad. We shouldn't be doing this.
This is funny. Change it like cable television has changed. One, you're watching, and it's just the anthem plays all four quarters.
Never stops.
they just bring in a rotation of singers.
There's a cycle, and it's occasionally replaced by God Bless the USA, right? America the Beautiful.
They tried that. ESPN tried to walk that line when they just invited Rush Limbaugh in for a while
to
analyze quarterbacks and then fired him for being Rush Limbaugh.
On the Democrat version, if you are a player who's maybe like done something inappropriate, your name on your jersey, they'll just use some type of graphic. It'll just say problematic player. So you can't use their name. You just
there's like a spot
that
shadow.
That guy's problematic.
There's a problematic spot shadow.
You can't call him out by name, though.
On the Republican broadcast, you invite him into the booth.
Talk about
how great he is. He's a
cancel
hero.
Meter.
Oh.
Figure out how close someone is to being canceled.
On the Democrat broadcast.
I don't even know.
On the Republican broadcast, they're selling you something.
They just know the cancel's on both broadcasts.
Sponsored by MyPillow.
That's a good point.
The cancel is the one consistent thread through all of it. It's the one place that everyone agrees, yeah, just cancel everybody.
Is blur out Colin Kaepernick on the Republican broadcast? He's just not there.
No, that's the real actual broadcast that they're showing us every
Fair point.
Week.
Fair point.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.